This morning on Wake Up With Hope, Jesus 101 will be with us to share a morning devotional thought. We'll have a dedicated prayer session and music from Endless Praise.
Stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss a thing. Good morning, bonjour, buenos dias. You know, it's a good day to wake up with hope.
Yes, it is. Every day is a good day to wake up with hope, right?
Yes, yes.
We're so glad you've chosen to join us this morning as we wake up together thinking about the Lord.
Amen. You know, talking about hope, Psalm 31:24 says, "Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart, all you hope in the Lord." You know, when we have hope in God, He promised to strengthen our hearts and grant us peace and confidence and security no matter what we go through or what circumstances we might find ourselves in.
That's right. And that is why we love sharing Jesus' hope with you every weekday morning here on Wake Up With Hope.
Amen. So let's begin by taking a look back at this day in history.
On this day in history, in the year 1957, while spending the Christmas holidays at Graceland, his newly purchased Tennessee mansion, rock and roll star Elvis Presley received his draft notice for the United States Army. It was during the peak of his career when Presley received his draft notice for a two-year stint in the Army. Fans sent tens of thousands of letters to the Army asking for him to be spared. But Elvis didn't seek to be relieved. He received one deferment during which he finished working on a movie before being sworn in as an Army private in Memphis on March 24, 1958.
Have you ever been so focused working on something and doing it great, and suddenly something else demands your attention? You know, I'm sure we have all been there to varying degrees, you know. And at what point should you decide what comes first and what takes priority? It's a good question. You know, should you really take your attention off of what you're working on and put it on something else? Well, this is what happened to Nehemiah in the Bible as he was leading out in the rebuilding of the temple of the Lord. Yet Nehemiah knew that his priority was in finishing the work that God had called him to do. Even though there were seemingly something pressing and even threatening to his work, demanding his attention. You know, friends, what work has God called you to do? I invite you today to ask Him to make it crystal clear and stay focused and remember to put Him first.
Amen. Thank you for those words of thought-provoking encouragement. Well, it's now time for music. Endless Praise shares their musical message, No Fear in Love.
Again. will slip through my hands. I'm afraid of dancing, and the time will bury me alive. Afraid to go outside.
If you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup and you'll see more there. Also, search for us on our YouTube channel and keep up with us there as well.
And friends, don't go anywhere. When we return, we will have the Let's Pray team leading us in prayer. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. You know, we believe our program will make a positive difference in your life today.
Hebrews 4:16 tells us, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And this morning we're drawing near to God's throne of grace as our praying friends from the Let's Pray team lead us in a season of prayer.
Hello, hello family. Well, guess what? It is time to pray again. My name is Susan Cromwell. I am one of two hosts for Hope Channel's Let's Pray alongside Pastor Chris Holland. And today I am gladly tasked with praying for some of the small things. So here is what I am thinking, family. There are so many big things going on around our world, and not all of them are good. And we know this. And sometimes it can be hard to find and focus on gratitude and to move through our day with a bit of a lightness or that burden being removed. And so I would like to just take a few moments to pray and to thank Jesus for the very, very small things, because I believe that that can snowball into an attitude of gratitude towards our God. And family, listen, it says in 1 Timothy 4:4-5, "For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer." Powerful. So I just want to be obedient to the Lord and make sure that we can come together and pray and be grateful. So let's do that today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you Jesus, that you are reminding me personally to be grateful, to speak gratitude, Heavenly Father. Lord, to testify to your goodness by allowing words of gratitude to come out of my mouth. Because, Father, we not only defeat the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, our story, but, Father, I believe that is compounded day by day by what we're confessing, what we're testifying with our mouths in our daily lives, Jesus, that we would testify to your goodness, regardless of circumstance, Father. Lord, that we would speak faith and that we would speak trust. I pray, Jesus, that you would help us. Many times we are very heavy-hearted, Father. Many times there are sincere struggles that we are facing as the body of Christ and as individuals, Lord. But none of those things changes the truth about who you are and how you feel about us and the fact that you have a plan. So, Lord, I want to say thank you for breath, for the opportunity to breathe in and to breathe out. There are many who are no longer doing that. Thank you, Jesus, that there are other people in the body of Christ, that we are not alone because you will never leave us or forsake us, but that we have family we've been adopted into. Heavenly Father, I thank you for reminding us, Jesus, that your love endures forever. It is no small thing, but Jesus, I feel like it's a small thing to remember it. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for family, Jesus. Whether we have good thoughts toward our family or ache in our heart regarding our family, Jesus, I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are able to do something there, that you are able to help us to love better each day, Heavenly Father. I thank you for your word. I thank you for music and a song and hymns and praise, Heavenly Father. I thank you for children, Lord, whether our own or other people's, the joy of children's laughter around the world. I thank you, Jesus, that in Psalms it says that the praises of infants and children, Father, will establish a stronghold and silence the foe and the avenger. Lord, thank you for children and what their praise and their joy can accomplish, Heavenly Father. Thank you for never leaving us and going ahead of us today, being with us every step of the way, and that nothing that's happening is a surprise to you, Heavenly Father. I pray also, Father, and finally, that you would continue to help us to notice small things and big things to be grateful for through the rest of our day today, as you carry us and cover us in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Have a good day.
Amen. Thank you. You know, it's almost time for us now to be blessed by the word through a devotional thought. After this short break, Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 will bring us hope from God's word. Wake up with hope. We'll be right back.
We are so glad that you have chosen Wake Up With Hope to start your day. Welcome back, friends.
And as promised, this morning we have Elizabeth Talbot from our friends at Jesus 101 who will be sharing this morning's devotional thought.
Today we conclude our mini-series on Fear Not, and we are discussing Fear Not the End. Sometimes we are afraid of the end of the world. What's going to happen? How is this going to happen? And Jesus actually gave us beautiful portraits of himself for the end of times so that we wouldn't be afraid. Is it possible to choose faith over fear for the end of the world, the end of our lives? Yes, it is. And today we're going to discuss it. There's a big word that perhaps you have heard is eschatology. Eschatology is a word that means the study of the end times. The last days, how we study what's going to happen, the prophecies, things like that. And today we are going to discuss why is it that we should not fear the end, or even talking about eschatology, the end times, and the study of the end times. We have a book at the end of the Bible called Revelation. This is the last word of God that we have in the Bible, and it is about the end. It is about eschatology. And why is it that we shouldn't fear it? So let's go to Revelation chapter 1. We are going to spend a little time on chapter 1 of Revelation today. And one of the first things you notice on chapter 1, verse 1, is the word revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ. This is how this book starts. The revelation of Jesus Christ. This word revelation is actually the word apocalypsis. That's why we hear of the apocalypse and things like that. It seems like Hollywood is very interested in making movies about the end and the end times, even though they usually don't follow what the Bible says. And this word apocalypsis means unveiling. The very beginning of the book says God is going to unveil Jesus Christ, because yes, we knew about the cross from the Gospels, but we didn't realize what this meant for the end of times and for the whole world and for the whole universe for that matter. So if you think about unveiling, think about a piece of art. You know how sometimes we have pictures or sculptures that they're going to be unveiled? That's the word apocalypsis. And so here at the very beginning of the book, Revelation 1:1, the apocalypsis of Jesus Christ is the unveiling. And it takes the veil off and it says, ta-da! We know how the story ends and Jesus wins. So we don't not only have the cross, but we have a crown, because we realize that Jesus is king and he's coming back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So, and we can summarize the whole Bible in two words: Jesus wins. I wrote this devotional to help people understand how we already know that Jesus wins. We know how the story ends and Jesus wins. So this is the unveiling, and it tells us this is what is going to happen at the end. Jesus will win. So when we start this book, which is a last word of God for us, we have beautiful portraits of Jesus. And today I want to discuss a couple of those portraits with you. The first is chapter 1, verse 5. Chapter 1, verse 5 tells us something about Jesus that is important to understand when we start the study of the end times. Verse 5 says, "From Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth." And check this two. Check out these two verbs: "to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood." So the first verb was loves us. I know that some translations haven't done it in the present tense, but it is in the present tense in the Greek. So Jesus is the one who loves us and continues to love us. It's like a present continuous tense. And then released us. That's past. That's why we have a cross here on Fear Not, because it already happened. He released us. He's freed us from our sins by his blood. So these are the two things you need to remember when you start this book about the end times, is that he loves us and continues to love us, and that he has already released us and freed us from our sins at the cross. So then we start on verse 7. "Behold, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him." So it is to be. Amen. And then we get the first portrait. We have portraits of Jesus for the end of times, for the eschatology, the study of the end of times. Some very specific portraits of Jesus. And the first one is the one on verse 8. "I am the Alpha and the Omega." I'm the Alpha and the Omega. Alpha and Omega are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. So if Jesus were talking to us today, he would say, "I'm the A and the Z. I am the first letter of the alphabet. I am the last letter of the alphabet and all the letters in between." There's nothing you're facing that is not covered by these two letters, A and Z, the first and the last, the whole alphabet. C for cancer, D for divorce, F for financial problems, P for pandemic. It's all included in the A to Z. "I'm there at the beginning," says Jesus, "and I'm there at the end." And just in case we didn't get it, verse 8 continues and it says, "I'm the Alpha and the Omega," says the Lord God, "who is and who was and who is to come." This is what I call the multidirectional assurance. If what you're afraid of is the past, he says, "I'm the one who was." If what you're afraid of is the present, he says, I'm the one who is. And what if you were afraid of the future? He says, I'm the one who is to come. It's a multi-directional assurance covered by from the A to the Z. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, it brings me so much assurance. And he continues, verse 17 and 18 of the same chapter, he repeats why we should not be afraid. And here's the fear not or do not be afraid command, verse 17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet, says John, and he placed his right hand on me. The right hand is the powerful hand of God in the Bible. And he said, do not be afraid. Fear not. Do not be afraid. Why? Because I am the first and the last. And this word last in Greek is eschatos, where we get this big word eschatology. Jesus says, if you're going to talk about the last day events, make sure you're talking about me because I'm the last. I am the first and the last. So if you're going to talk about the end of the world, the end of your life, whatever it is, the end, don't forget to talk about me. I'm the last. I'm the first and the last. I'm the eschatos, says Jesus. I am the living one, and I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death. I have the keys of death, says Jesus. So the multi-directional assurance covers the whole thing from beginning to end. So fear not the end. Fear not the end. You know, this verse where it says he has the keys of death, inspired me to put a key inside my parents' tomb when I buried my dad, who was the second parent to die for me. And I put a key inside their tomb, and then we closed it. And I know there is a key there that Jesus will find when he comes for them on the second coming, because I believe that Jesus has the keys to death and will wake him up again. So fear not the end. Jesus is the beginning. He is the end. He is the eschatos. And the whole Bible ends with this reminder that he is the first and the last. Look at Revelation 22, verse 13. I am the Alpha and Omega, again, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And then he ends the whole Bible saying, yes, I'm coming quickly. Oh, amen. Jesus is coming back for us. Fear not the end. The one who has died for you has assured you that he will be there at the very end. So fear not the end. Jesus is with us from the beginning to the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth, for those encouraging words.
That was so good. What a blessing. And friends, thank you for spending time with us this morning. And if you would like to learn more about our program or share with a friend who's never watched Wake Up with Hope, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to join us tomorrow morning. Live It in the Kitchen will be back. We'll have a special episode on art, an inspiring devotional thought, and so much more. We really hope to see you then. Plus, if you've enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Yes. Well, friends, that's all for today. But before we go, we want to leave with you a Bible promise. It comes from the well-known John chapter 3, verse 16.
That's right. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
What a beautiful promise, isn't it?
Absolutely. Jesus died for each and every one of us, and we can all have eternal life.
Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much that you not only love the world, but you love me. You love each one of us personally, individually. And today, Lord, we know that you want to give us the assurance, the promise of eternal life. And that's why right now, as we begin this day, we welcome Jesus to have a place in our hearts, a place today and a place to stay. And we thank you, Lord, for the hope that fills us today as we begin this day with you. In Jesus' name, amen.